Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
You guys went to report. We had four guys DMP, Shaq Barrett with a hip, Tremaine Brock with ribs, Chris Harris with a lower leg injury, and Derek Wolfe with ribs. We had two guys limited, Brandon Marshall with a knee, Emmanuel Sanders with Achilles injury, and Josie Jewell was full along with Courtney Sutton's full.
What? How was your day, honey? It was all right. You know, I filled out all my TPS reports and put in for that vacation time over the holidays. I murdered my boss. And then we got some lunch down at some Tex-Mex. I'm sorry, what'd you murdered your boss? Yeah. But the TPS reports getting done was the big deal. Next man up.
It does not. The next man up, we're going to move on. Absolutely.
Did you know this was going on? What?
Has there been anything leading up to this injury with Emmanuel? Any suspicions that he's been dealing with something there?
No, I mean, he was sore last week in his heel area, and he felt great today, so I can't speak to that.
Did the field have anything to do with it?
I don't know. The fields are fine.
Okay. The fields aren't fine, but they didn't flip the fields this year.
They will. They'll get around to it.
Well, they probably will now.
I mean, there is a plan.
I'm sure there is. And what are we doing moving forward?
It just happened an hour and 15 minutes ago. You know, we have to go through the wire, and we got to see what's out there. We have capable guys here in the building already on our P-Squad, so we'll see what's best for our football team.
Actually, you don't. You had one guy on your P-Squad. That sounds fun to say. Your P-Squad. Come on. I bet there's a lot of 12-year-olds in the car right now laughing. D-Mac just said P-Squad. Actually, it was Coach Joseph that said P-Squad, right?
Guys, it just happened an hour and 15 minutes ago. You know, we have to go through the wire, and we got to see what's out there. We have capable guys here in the building already on our P-Squad, so we'll see what's best for our football team.
He said P-Squad. There's a whole squad. No, they really don't. Chad Hansen was the only wide receiver on their P-Squad. And who's Chad Hansen? Good question. So they signed Andre Holmes, who had been released by the Buffalo Bills.
Who'd they release?
Well, nobody. They put Emmanuel Sanders on IR. By the way, they did dump Cyrus Kwonjo. Remember I told you, asked me, like, who? And I said, oh, how about Nico Falla? Well, there was another offensive lineman that I forgot and was even on the 53, Cyrus Kwonjo. They dubbed him in order to add Jamar Taylor, the cornerback. Tough week. You lose Chris Harris. You lose Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, that is yikes. You're in trouble there. So that is the story. Alfred, for those who are just tuning in, what's your reaction to this news?
It's tough, and I think we're playing the right opponents in the next couple of weeks to get healthy, or at least get some confidence for these young guys. I think we have enough to win. I think you move Philip Lindsay out to the slot, give him a chance to exploit some of the coverages that you're going to see in the next couple of weeks, and away you go. Use everybody on the team. Now this has to be a team win.
As opposed to what?
Just leaning on Emmanuel Sanders for all first downs and you know, if there's a big play, a big catch, you know, this guy is averaging 12 targets or so a game since Demaryius Thomas is gone, all but last week. And that makes sense now that we understand that his Achilles was sore last week, why they didn't target him as much. You know, it's time for the rest of the team to step it up.
Anybody in particular?
I would say the tight ends. I would say all the entire tight end group and the running back group will be asked to do more. And we have those we have it within us to make better plays and big plays from those two units. So let's just go with it. It's that time.
How does this change things for Case Keenum?
His life has become more complicated now because you're throwing the guys that you didn't necessarily consider number one receivers. You know, you look at when you look at Cortland Sutton, you look at a guy who's learning, you know, and you throw him a jump ball. But he's not running the entire route tree right now. He's running, you know, a slant. He's running a go. He's running a stop. You know, it's just not he's not motioning and doing all the things that the number one receivers do in this league, or the number two receivers for that matter. He's outside. He runs the routes that he runs, you know, and that's it. So I think Deshaun Hamilton will have the heavy burden of knowing all the shifts and all the coverages and having to make all those adjustments. But I think that he has the mental makeup to do those things. He's been a mature guy. You know, I know his high school coach is George Coghill, a guy I played with here with the Denver Broncos, who just said that the guy is this mature beyond his years. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. It's just that it's his turn right now.
Okay. Case Keenum was asked how you replace Sanders.
I mean, it's like I said before, you don't really replace guys. You know, Emmanuel, obviously one of the best guys I've ever worked with. You know, from what I knew about him coming in, and then, you know, seeing how he worked and how he handled himself, how he led, man, it surpassed all my expectations by far and away. And, man, he's an incredible guy. And, you know, I'm not going to talk like he's gone because yeah, I've got all the trust in the world in those other guys.
Two slam dunk wins against the Raiders and the 49ers. What about the Browns and the Chargers?
Those are issues. Those are issues. Those are two teams trying to win. The 49ers, you know, just looking at the 49ers in their last game against the Seahawks, they just look like they got a bunch of guys who don't belong there. They don't have pros yet. They have guys that
such as
a punt return that was muffed. You have
that guy's been like their
fumbles,
best. That
know?
Guy's
know,
been like their best player all year.
It just feels like they were missing pros. I mean, the screen passes that were. I mean, there must have been 9 or 10 screen passes thrown against the Seahawks last week that didn't work out. You know, just wow. I'm like, wow. Like, what is this? But then sprinkled in, there were some brilliant plays that got guys wide open that you say, okay, that's what I'm used to seeing. But I don't think those plays will be, you know, dialed up a bunch.
I apologize. They're terrible at punt return. My bad. I knew they were good at something in special teams. They're horrible at punt return. Sorry. They're field goal kickers, third best in the league. They are a disaster in punt return. The 31st in the league. Broncos are 32nd. It's fine. They don't turn the ball over. The Niners are a staggering minus 20. They are the worst team in the league in giveaway takeaway. I'll give you this, Al. You can't lose to a team that is that bad in turning the ball over. I don't know if they have to tank. Maybe they just put the team out on the field and then magic happens for them in terms of losing.
You know,
I know why I want their punt return. Their punt returner is Ricky James. Rick James is their punt returner. I forgot. That's why. It's not that he's good, but his name's Rick James. Yeah. Muff a punt. Gonna drop this one. Gonna take a loss. Yeah. I'm a very stinky punt returner. But Gould, he's their kicker, and his brother is the Broncos assistant special teams guy. Kicking specialist, dude. They have a good kicker. I knew they were good at something. I still see this as a close game now.
It may
you don't have Chris Harris. You don't have Emmanuel Sanders. Both teams, they love Kittle, their tight end. Love this guy. And I think I see where you're going, too. Maybe the Broncos should love their tight ends. Emmanuel Sanders was our leading receiver. 868 receiving yards this year.
Not only that, D-Mac, I think you minimize it when you call him our leading receiver. I think that
I minimize it?
Oh, yeah. Because you're saying, I think the guy was just an impact player. You know, more than just receiving. He got a rushing touchdown for like, what, 50 or 60 yards.
I wasn't trying to minimize him. Yeah, I was trying to praise him.
But what I'm saying is that he is much better than just our leading receiver. He is a playmaking Jesse.
Who's the best offensive player on the Broncos?
Phillip Lindsay.
All right.
Number two would be Emmanuel Sanders.
Who's number three?
Number three would probably be Case Keenum.
Not Cortland Sutton.
No. Phillip Lindsay is looking
at James.
Phillip Lindsay is looking at a Pro Bowl right now.
Phillip Lindsay got named AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Not rookie, Offensive Player of the Week.
That's right.
Well deserved.
That's right.
He's going to lose Rookie of the Year to Saquon Barkley.
Because he lives in New York.
And because they don't throw the ball to Phillip Lindsay, which I hope they do now. Maybe they will more. But that's it. If they were to throw, if he even came close to getting the opportunities in the passing game that Barkley has had, then he probably would have better numbers than Barkley. They got to change that, by the way. That's an obvious adjustment, isn't it, with the Emmanuel Sanders injury, that you've got to throw the ball to Phillip Lindsay more?
I would think that the reason that Phillip Lindsay was an instant star on this team had nothing to do with first and second down. It was because of what he could do in man-to-man coverage on third down. I mean, clearly, I mean, just go back to the quotes from Brandon Marshall. When he was, what number was he? He said number two. He was saying that number two is going to make the team. Didn't even know his name. He said that dude is off the chain. He, you know, nobody can cover him.
Well, they should have known his name.
My name's Phil Lindsay. I'm from Colorado. Went to Colorado.
So, I mean, it's obvious who he is. Just love that.
My name's Phil Lindsay. I'm from Colorado. Went to Colorado.
Yeah, you gotta throw Phillip, who's unbelievable. You gotta get him into the passing game a little bit more, which I it's gotta happen now. Are we gonna really real? You know, I mean, what is Andre Holmes gonna get? Like two targets,
maybe more than that.
I doubt it. Well, maybe, I don't know. Who knows? But I mean, the guy is for the Bills this year. He played in 12 games. He had 23 targets. He did not even average two targets a game for the Bills.
Mm.
So, you know, what are you, he's going to come to the Broncos and all of a sudden get, what, four targets would be incredible for Andre Holmes.
But let's not minimize who the guy is, because he may be the only one that knows the entire playbook.
Dude, in his last 2 years...
I didn't say he had the catches.
Billy Moose. He had 25 targets and 33 targets in 32 games. He had 58 targets in 32 games. The guy did not even average two targets a game.
Because he wasn't the primary receiver doesn't mean that he didn't understand the entire playbook.
He's an add-on. He's a nice, comfortable add-on for Billy Moose, and that's that.
Well, that's what we need.
That's fine. Whatever. He's your, like, fourth receiver. He's really your fifth receiver.
Maybe a third receiver.
Really?
He could be.
You think he's... Who's he getting more attention? More than Deshaun Hamilton and more than Tim Patrick? Wow, that would be a massive mistake.
Do you put Deshaun Hamilton outside?
Sure, why not?
Okay, well, then this kid played in the slot all those years in Oakland. There's your matchup.
If you have three receivers, Deshaun Hamilton would be in the slot.
Well, I'm telling you that's where...
If you have two receivers, who are your two receivers?
Deshaun Hamilton and...
Cortland Sutton?
And Cortland.
Okay, you have three receivers. Who are your three receivers?
Andre Holmes.
Over Tim Patrick. Wow.
Okay. Wait, in the slot? In the slot?
No, on the field. Who are your three receivers?
Well, I guess you would go with that configuration. You go
Tim Patrick. You would go Courtland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton.
You go Courtland Sutton outside, Tim Patrick outside,
right.
And inside Deshaun Hamilton.
Fine. Four wide receivers. Maybe he's on the field. Maybe if a guy needs a breath or something, that sort of thing. But this is a great opportunity just to get Phillip Lindsay involved more in the passing game. He's okay. We're going down the stretch. It's all right. You're not going to burn him out. These games are critical wins. Get your best player, who is clearly Phillip Lindsay, by the way, right? He already was your best offensive player. I mean, how much better? All right, you said Phillip Lindsay was the Broncos' best offensive player. How much better was Phillip Lindsay than Emmanuel Sanders? A little? A lot? Not so much. Medium? Little? Medium? A lot?
He was a lot better.
He was a lot better than Emmanuel Sanders.
He was.
And you said Case Keenum is under Sanders in terms of offensive players.
Right.
Well, I mean, he ain't running around.
Listen,
the last time we
seen a running back run like this was Clinton Portis.
Right. So you see where I'm going?
I'm trying to explain to you historically that running backs don't average 6 yards a carry.
You know, I think I get it, because what I'm pointing out to you is the gap between Phillip Lindsay now with Sanders gone and your next best offensive player is a mile high.
Right, but you can't overuse him. You can't go.
What would be overusing Phillip Lindsay?
Giving him 20 carries.
Fine. How about 14 carries, 6 passes?
There you go. I love that.
Okay. Then let's see that, because that hasn't been happening.
But I don't like the way that they've been trying to get him the passes, though. I mean, those swing passes where it looks like it's a long handoff behind the line of scrimmage, it's dead. Now, I know that it's a setup, okay? Because they run it about 4 times, maybe 5 times, they put it on film. We understand the next move off of that is a fake and then up throw downfield.
By the way, the Niners are so bad. They are bad. I'll give you that. You run the ball 2 or 3 times, basic play action, you'll burn the crap out of them. I don't know what they got. How would you describe the 49ers defense?
You're talking about a big, big bust. Solomon Thomas, I think that...
No action from him.
Oh, my goodness.
None.
And Buckner, they have like 3... I think they have 3 first-rounders on that defensive line.
Buckner leads them in sacks with 9, but it's not that impactful. Solomon Thomas disappears. You don't even notice his name being called, or he doesn't do anything out there. Big fella from Stanford. They're all excited to get him.
Traded back in the draft. The third pick in the NFL draft.
Their two favorite guys were Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster, and they got them both. How'd that work out?
One guy's cut.
One guy's irrelevant. That's John Lynch. That's a rookie
trading
GM
back.
Move right there.
Trading back.
Yeah.
They traded back.
They just couldn't identify who they really needed. And
they didn't want to take the quarterback from North Carolina, Mitchell Trubisky.
They did not, no.
They didn't want that guy.
They did not want that guy. Nope.
Bears look like they won, right?
Oh. Not even close. They so won. If you need a quarterback, everything else is number 2. And a distant number 2. And this is why the khaki pants theory falls apart.
But Patrick Mahomes was in that same draft.
You can, right, at number 10. You can wait for a great cornerback to fall to you. You can wait for a great receiver like Courtland Sutton to fall to you. You cannot wait for a great quarterback to fall to you. You can't do it. You've got to be really good at identifying a quarterback and be committed to developing him. And if you can figure out who that guy is, that's why I never bought the Broncos really like Sam Darnold, Saquon Barkley, and Bradley Chubb. I never bought that for a moment. If you really felt like that about Sam Darnold, Al, you needed to move heaven and earth to go get him.
Mm.
Because the difference between a great quarterback and a great pass rusher or a great anything else, it's the Grand Canyon of different. Now, you can say, oh, Sam Darnold hasn't really worked out. He's been hurt. Okay, fine.
He's young.
But
But you take you know it's going to be a time with those young guys.
But if you were honest with your assessment, like, we like, these are the three guys we liked. Well, you needed to do something more than just hope that Sam Darnold would fall to you. And you certainly need to do more than hope you get somebody good in the second round. And this is what I'm terrified about. The Broncos finish whatever they finish. They get the 20th draft pick, and they wait for Drew Lock to fall to them. Holy cow. That, to me, is it's in the 20s. It's falling to you, quarterback. It's like the worst nightmare. It's the worst nightmare. If you really believe in Drew Lock, go get him. Be aggressive, like the Kansas City Chiefs, Al, and go get your guy.
If he's your guy.
If he's your guy. But don't sit there, or like the Broncos do with Paxton Lynch. They moved up, what, like three spots to get him at 25 instead of 28? That's ridiculous. If he's really your guy, go get him. Move up like the Chiefs did. Use that capital. Go believe in yourself. The move to Paxton Lynch was pathetic. It was to ward off the cow. They got freaked out by the Cowboys. Moving up three spots in the 20s, please. That's not belief in a quarterback. That's being intimidated by the Cowboys. Jerry Jones won that battle, by the way, Al. Oh, we're all nervous. We got to go three spots up to get Paxton Lynch. Stupid. It's tough sledding here because Bradley Chubb is great, but you better believe in Case Keenum because that's who you got. That being said,
you can change that next year, though.
We're sitting at the draft, you know, Broncos draft 20. Drew Lock will be sitting there, and they'll pick up Drew Lock, and then we'll spend the next 2 years wondering when are we going to play Drew Lock. Get ready for it. The best option, really, in all honesty, Broncos fans, the best option is Case Keenum lights it up, takes a turn, and Case Keenum's our guy for the next 7 years. That really is the best option, and we can stop messing around with these silly quarterback notions and just develop more weapons for Case Keenum. That's the truth. When we come back, Mel Tucker, the new head coach for CU.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Mel Tucker is one of the most seasoned coaches you could ever want to be the new head coach for the University of Colorado. Not only in college football, but also in the NFL, as he has 10 years of experience in the NFL with the Browns, Jaguars, and Bears. 2-3 as Jacksonville's interim coach in 2011. Also, two national championships under his assistant coaching belt at Ohio State and Alabama. And recently, the head guy of the defense of Georgia, who just went through an unbelievable game against Alabama, did not go Georgia's way, unfortunately. But still, in terms of the world of college football, it doesn't get much tougher than that. And we are proud to have him on our show right now. Coach Tucker, congratulations, first of all, on an amazing career and landing a head coaching job at the University of Colorado. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you so much, and I'm very proud and excited to be here, and thanks for having me on tonight.
Why is this the right time in your life and your career to take on a head coaching job?
Well, I've been waiting for this type of opportunity for my entire coaching career, and the advice that I was always given from veteran coaches was, Mel, you know, we know at some point you're going to be a head coach, but you have to make sure that you take the right job, the right fit for you. It's got to be something that feels right in a place where you feel like you can win, and a place where you feel like you can win championships. And so when this opportunity came about, and as I looked at it, there was no doubt in my mind that this was the right fit for me, and that this was a place where we could win, where we could sustain winning and compete and win championships year in and year out. And so that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm so excited, and I can't wait to get started.
Coach, now I know the things that make special football programs are special players. And from all accounts, man, one of your greatest strengths is your recruiting. Are you going to bring us some guys that can elevate this program to get us going in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. Recruiting is the key. I mean, if you don't have the difference makers on both sides, on offense, defense, and special teams, then you can't beat good teams. And so recruiting is the lifeblood of our program. We're going to recruit at an extremely high level. We're not going to settle. We're going to go out and recruit the best student athletes that we can find, and then our goal is to sign those guys. And so, you know, obviously there are some tremendous players here in the state that we need to make sure that we get, and then we have to go outside of our state to fill out the rest of the classes year in and year out, starting with Texas, California, Louisiana. The Jayhawk League will be able to help us some, and then we'll go nationally to places like Florida. We'll open up Georgia, and obviously any of the other places that have good players, we're going to be there. And I think you have to, nowadays you have to recruit nationally to be relevant in the championship conversation.
Well, Coach, you just listed off states that are in the Big 12 and the SEC, and none of those kids may see a Pac-12 game because those games are on at like midnight. And it's pretty reasonable that an 18-year-old kid, I mean, it is reasonable that he may not be familiar with Pac-12 football because the games just aren't on TV like those other states that you mentioned.
Yeah, and that's true, but, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And I believe now with social media and things like that and all the different things that you can do, you can reach kids and you can touch kids and you can get kids interested. And you and I both know if you can get them here to see the place.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt.
You got a really great shot. And so, you know, we're not going to we're not going to have any self-imposed limitations about who we can get or where we can get them from.
I got to ask you about your first impression of actually seeing the University of Colorado's brand new facility. I'm quite sure you've been around some fantastic facilities, being that you were at Ohio State and at Alabama. How do our facilities stack up to those other top-notch programs?
Well, I'm looking forward to getting a tour later on this evening of the entire facility, but what I've seen online, it's extraordinary. It's state of the art, cutting edge, no doubt one of the top facilities in America, bar none. So, when you have tradition and facilities, then you have a great opportunity to attract the type of student athletes you need to compete and compete for championships and win championships.
Now, one of the things that we've seen, you know, a lot of coaches do is give up control of calling offense, defense, and special teams when they become the head guy. Do you anticipate that you're going to give up the coordinating of the defense going forward, or are you going to give that to the next guy?
I'll be heavily involved with the defense, but in terms of calling the defense, that will be a decision that I'll make down the road relative to our staff makeup.
Okay, and what about the offensive staff? Do they stay, or are you going to bring in new personnel there as well? What's going on with your offensive staff?
Yeah, I'm going to evaluate the entire situation and the staff. And then we'll make a decision in short order. I think it's only fair to everyone involved that you're decisive and you move quickly in the direction that you want to go. And so the next the next several days, all that will play out. And I can guarantee you that we'll have a great staff. And first and foremost, they'll be a staff of men of high character great teachers, motivators, developers, and relentless recruiters.
Now, you know, two of our favorite running backs around here are Sony Michel, and we talked about them last year, and Nick Chubb. Finding those kind of guys, man. What kind of process is it to find those kind of guys? I mean, we found Philip Lindsay in our backyard, and he committed to the University of Colorado. But when you look at the other top running backs that are playing well now in their rookie years, what kind of process is it going and finding those guys?
Well, it's really, and you use the word process, and you're exactly right. From a recruiting standpoint, first of all, you know, identifying the players, evaluating the players, and then at that point, once those players pass your evaluation, then it's all about marketing. And when you see guys like Sony Michel and Nick Chubb and guys like that, I mean, they're not hard to find now. I mean, you know where they are, you know who they are, you know, so it's just a matter of being able to get them. And I remember when I was at Ohio State, Coach Trussell would always tell us and said if you look at a player and you don't think you can beat Michigan with this player, then he's not for us. And so usually those great players, it doesn't take very long to evaluate. It's usually probably 10 plays or less. Then it's just a matter of rolling up your sleeves and marketing your program to them, find out what's important to them and their families, and making sure that they understand that the University of Colorado is their dream school.
All right, so Coach, I'm Johnny Five Star in Louisiana, and you're I'm sitting there with my mom, my dad somewhere, and you're sitting on the couch. What's your elevator pitch? You know, like you got to
separate Colorado.
Yeah, you got to separate CU. Why?
Well, every situation is different, and I think you have to first and foremost find out what's important to them. And what are their goals and what are their aspirations? What are they looking for from an athletic standpoint, from an academic standpoint? And then you explain to them how what their goals are meet up with the goals that you have for your program and how you can help them reach their goals and reach their full potential. And so with all the resources that we have here at the university, academically and athletically, with the coaching staff that we'll have here, and just the ability to teach, motivate, and develop, there's no reason why we shouldn't be considered in the top two or three when it comes down to making that decision. And then and when you get to that point, then it's just a matter of closing.
Right.
And if you can close, then you can win.
Well said. You know, do your homework before you go in there. Know as much about them. I hope you can indulge us on a couple of other quirky questions, because we obviously, you know, pay attention to the Broncos here. DeAndre Baker. Tell us about DeAndre Baker.
Yeah, Bake, first and foremost, he's a great kid. He loves to compete. He's long. He's got really good feet. He's explosive. He's got a really good long speed. Above average to very, very good ball skills. He's got very good reactionary athleticism, which is, in other words, instincts, and he's always up for the challenge. So it's hard to find good corners that can cover and also are willing tacklers that can play the ball in the air and can play tight man coverage, and he does a really good job playing off. So I think he has a total package, and he's a young guy, and he's just going to get better. So I think his future is very bright.
Is Jake from the next generation's Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't want to. You know, I played against coached against Ben Roethlisberger, and actually I was at Miami of Ohio when we were recruiting him out of Finley.
Okay.
At the time, and so
if I should make a different comparison, just point me in that direction. But that's just who I see from sort of profiling, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ben is going to be a Hall of Fame player, so you never want to put the cart before the horse. But
okay.
Jake does have the it factor. You know, he's a leader. He's a fierce competitor. He's a student of the game. And he's a winner. And so, that's what you need at the quarterback position. You need a guy that is a coach on the field that commands the respect of his teammates, is unselfish, and is willing to get out front and lead and do what needs to be done to put the team in position to win games. And so I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jake. And obviously, he's still a young guy, and he's only going to get better.
Do you have a son who can play quarterback or wide receiver for your team?
Do I have a son?
Yes.
Do you have a son that plays wide receiver or quarterback for
the team?
The
past couple coaches we've had, they've had a quarterback as a kid on the team and a wide receiver on the team. So, you know, don't know where you're going in that department.
Yeah, I've got a ninth grader who plays football. On the line, but he's also a left-handed lacrosse goalie. And one day you see him walking around with a football, but most of the time you see him walking around with a stick in his hand.
All right. That's a cool combination.
My oldest boy is a junior, Joseph, and he is a soccer guy. And so the chances of me producing a quarterback or wide receiver out of my household at this point is probably slim.
Okay.
But you never know.
You never know.
Coach, how does the wife feel about this move to the University of Colorado? Has she seen campus yet?
Yeah, she's with me, and so are the boys. We came in today, and they're very, very impressed. She was very excited about the opportunity, and so were my boys. As a matter of fact, I came home, and the youngest boy was online looking at Buff gear.
Nice.
So they're all in, and really excited to be here. And that's so important, because
no doubt.
It's a family situation, and in terms of buy-in, I would never take an opportunity. If my family wasn't 100% in favor of it, because I believe in family first, and so they are. Rick George is very impressive. He is a guy that we feel like that we could trust, and we would love when we felt like we have a great working relationship with. So the family's here, and we're ready to go.
Coach, I'll be seeing you here soon, maybe in the next 24, 48 hours. Good luck to you, man. I can't wait to catch up with you and chop it up and let me know how the Colorado family can help you out. We're all behind you. Good luck, and you gotta get to learn in that fight zone.
I'll get on that right away, and I look forward to chopping up with you.
All right.
Shoulder to shoulder. Thank you, Coach Tucker. All right. Got a great resume.
I mean, the resume is unbelievable.
Yeah. Maybe the kid plays offensive line in 3 years. Who knows?
You just asked the greatest question I've heard in a long time.
He does have a kid that might play offensive line at some point. We got to take a break.
He does have a kid that plays wide receiver or
quarterback.
Wow.
I kill you with truth. It's the Drive on the Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
If you missed any of the show, find it again at 104.3thefan.com. The Nuggets with a 3-point lead over the Magic. We wish them the best as we follow them into the night. Cecil has fantasy football at 7 and Sandy after that. The Drive Reloaded coming up, where we talk about the Emmanuel Sanders situation in detail. Quite an afternoon for the Broncos, Alfred.
Man, it is tough sledding. You lose your best cornerback, you lose your best wide receiver within the same week, and then you're asked to go out and play another NFL game. That's just what we're straddled with. But we are the Denver Broncos. We will survive this, and we'll find a way to get a win against these next two opponents.
Well, apparently against San Francisco, because they're just going to quit. But We'll see about that. All right, Al, it's time for us to get out of here.
Hey, for my partner, D-Mac, who does a great job with the interview process. But Big Sexy, the man behind the glass that pulls it together, and my main man, Kyle Barrett. Appreciate you every day, brother. I'm Big Al. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 on the Drive. Good night, everybody. Have a great night.